This morning's first scripture reading comes from Mark 11, 1 through 11, and it is found on page 879 of your pew Bibles. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street. And they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest.' And he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked round at everything, it was already late. As it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." And our second scripture reading comes from Mark chapter 15, verses 21 through 32, and this can be found on page 885 of your pew Bible. "And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, 'Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross.' So also the chief priests mocked him to one another with the scribes, saying, 'He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' Those who were crucified with him also reviled him."
Palm Sunday always presents a challenge for those of us who plan the worship service. On the one hand, the mood is one of celebration as we read about Jesus parading into Jerusalem to the acclaim of the crowds, hailing him as Israel's king. "Hosanna," they say, "blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." We tried to capture a bit of that mood with some of our music here this morning, our prelude, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," and our opening hymn of praise. It is all in recognition of the fact that Jesus Christ is King. He is Israel's King. He is the King of the whole world. He is the one who comes in the name of the Lord to bring God's kingdom to the whole world. Before him, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of Kings. And so we wanted to capture a bit of that celebratory mood this morning on Palm Sunday. But this is also the last Sunday before Easter. And being all-knowing and all-discerning, the worship committee knows that there are some of you who are here today who will not be here on Good Friday to hear the story of Jesus' arrest and his suffering and his crucifixion on the cross. And because part of that story is important to hear before we come next Sunday to celebrate Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we've included part of that reading this morning. And we've captured a little bit of that mood as well with our singing. So perhaps this morning, if our service seems a bit disjointed, we have tried to capture, it's because we tried to capture two major themes, the kingdom of God on the one hand and the cross on the other. But actually what I want to impress upon you this morning is that the two themes go together. Kingdom and cross go together. You can't have God's kingdom without the cross. And you can't talk about the cross without the kingdom. There are some churches, of course, who talk a great deal about the kingdom. They want to go out into the world. They want to build the kingdom of God. But you can't have the kingdom without the cross. And there are some churches who talk a great deal about the cross. They understand that Jesus Christ died for us and somehow that his death was redemptive, and they talk a great deal about the cross, but they say absolutely nothing about the kingdom. But kingdom and cross go together. You can't have the cross without the kingdom, and you cannot have the kingdom without the cross. I've discovered that many of us Christians really do not understand what the Gospels are there for, especially all that stuff that Jesus does between his birth and his death on the cross, all of the healings and the feastings that Jesus does, the casting out of demons. What is that all about? To some, it looks as if Jesus is simply going about engaging in random acts of kindness, like the bumper sticker says, go out and engage in random acts of kindness. And that's true in part, but Jesus is doing much more than simply engaging in random acts of kindness. And then there are those who believe that all of the things that Jesus does in his healings and in his feastings and his casting out of demons, that all of this is nothing more but Jesus proving that he is divine, that he is the Son of God. And part of that is true as well. Jesus is divine. He is the Son of God. But the gospel writers want us to understand something much more about Jesus and about what he is doing in the narratives. The gospel writers are actually telling the story of how Israel's God has become king. Jesus isn't just engaging in random acts of kindness. He's not just performing miracles in order to prove that he is divine. But what Jesus is doing is inaugurating the kingdom of God. In Jesus' healings, in his feastings, in his casting out of demons, in his teaching, he is saying that this is what the kingdom of God is like. It means no more sickness, no more tears, no more hunger, no more want, no more death, no more captivity to the dark spiritual forces that dominate and control people's lives. This is what it's going to look like when God finally becomes king. And Jesus tells his contemporaries that the kingdom of God is already in their midst. It's already upon them, because Jesus is Israel's rightful king. That's why the crowds are welcoming him into Jerusalem on that this first Palm Sunday morning. Hosanna, they say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Right on, King Jesus. Hosanna, blessed is him who comes in God's name. But what a strange king Jesus is. What a strange Messiah. Jesus doesn't enter Jerusalem riding a war horse. He doesn't come at the head of a large army. He doesn't have the financial backing of multimillionaires or the endorsement of influential preachers. He doesn't lead rebel forces against the reigning despot Herod Antipas and his Roman backers. Instead, he comes humble, riding a donkey, with the ragtag following of disciples behind him. All through the gospel narratives, Jesus has been trying to subvert the popular understanding of how the Messiah will come and how the Messiah will be victorious over Israel's enemies. Jesus will not gain the victory in the way the rulers of the world will gain victory by lording it over others. Instead, Jesus gains the victory over the powers, the political powers, the economic powers, the social powers, the dark spiritual powers that lie behind them all. Jesus gains the power over the powers through an ultimate act of self-giving love on the cross. And that is how we are told that Jesus wins the victory. That is how Israel's God becomes king. And because Jesus is obedient even unto the cross, we are told that God raises Jesus up. Not only does God raise Jesus from the dead, but we are told that God raises Jesus' name above every other name. So that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is indeed Lord. Of course, Jesus' contemporaries didn't understand any of that. What they wanted was a big, strong, powerful king. They wanted a big, strong, powerful God, one that would destroy their enemies and establish the kingdom of Israel. They wanted a great, big, heavenly despot in the sky. And that is the kind of God and king that we want as well. That is our understanding of God as well. A God of absolute power. A God who will get our enemies. A God who is watching down upon us. A God who perhaps is waiting to get us. A God who is all-powerful. That's the kind of God that we want. A dominating God. And yet, we are reminded on this Palm Sunday that that is not the God that we get. If we were there beneath the cross, I suspect that we would have been taunting Jesus and mocking Jesus in the same way as the crowd that was under the cross. If we were there under the cross, we would have been saying the same thing that those who were hanging on either side of Jesus were saying. If you are God, why don't you come down to the cross? You saved others, but you cannot save yourself. What kind of Savior are you? What kind of Savior is it that hangs on the cross? Why don't you come down from there? That's the kind of God that we want. We want a God who will be able to defeat our enemies. We don't want a God that is crucified by our enemies. That's not the God that can help us. What kind of God is it that would allow God's self to be crucified on the cross? That's not the kind of God that we want. And yet, what if God is like the God that we come to know in Jesus Christ? What if God is the God that we see making his way to Jerusalem? What if God is the God who comes humble, riding on a donkey? What if God is not the kind of God that is out there looking down upon us from the sky, ready to get us? A God that we have to convince to love us and to care for us? What if God is not that kind of God at all? But what if God is the kind of God who expresses God's self through acts of mercy, through acts of self-giving love? What if God is like Jesus as he comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? The Bible reminds us this morning that kingdom and cross go together. Jesus is the King. Jesus is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the ruler of the world. He is the one who holds everything together. His name is the one that is higher than any other name. That's who Jesus is. But the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ is the crucified God. He is the God whose power is expressed in self-giving love. The cross is not just something that happens to Jesus that we can dispense with on Easter morning. Forget all about it. But the cross tells us something about the very heart and the very nature of God. And it also tells us something about what we are called to be. We are called to follow Jesus. But the Jesus that we are called to follow is the crucified Lord. Even after Jesus' resurrection, he still bears the prints of the nails in his hand and the spear in his side and the nail prints in his feet, because the God that we are called to follow is the crucified Lord. We are, as God's people, called to work for the kingdom. We are called to do the things that Jesus did. We are called to feed the hungry. We are called to heal communities and heal relationships and heal people. We are called to do all of those things. We're called to be active out into the world. We are called to work to usher in God's kingdom. We're called to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we're also called to work for that kingdom. But we don't bring the kingdom about through our power. We don't bring the kingdom about by how smart we are. We don't bring the kingdom about by the resources that we have. We don't bring the kingdom about through our might and through our power, the way the kingdoms of the world and the rulers of the world try to do it. But we work for the kingdom in the same way that Jesus inaugurated the kingdom, by offering ourselves up in acts of self-giving love. So that is what I would ask you to remember this morning as we go into Holy Week on this Palm Sunday. Kingdom and cross, they go together. You can't have one without the other. We are called to be a kingdom people, but being a kingdom people means offering ourselves up in ways of self-giving love. That's the whole point that Jesus was making in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, "Blessed are you. The world's blessings come through the peacemakers. The world's blessings will come through those who hunger and thirst after righteousness." That's how the kingdom will come. It won't come through armies. It won't come through tanks. It won't come through economic programs or political programs. The world kingdom, God's kingdom, will come by those who are open to let God's spirit of self-giving love work through them. So we have a little ways to go. On Thursday, we will gather together for a meal, just as Jesus and his disciples did on that night that he was arrested. On Friday, we will gather again to hear the story of the crucifixion. And on Sunday, we'll be back here to celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Only when we hear that, let us remember that Christ is risen. The Christ who is risen is none other than the crucified Christ. kingdom and cross, they go together. And we are asked to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only as he makes his way to the cross, but it is through the cross that we are called to work for the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for this time this morning as we have heard in song the good news of your love for us, the good news of your coming kingdom, the good news of your willingness to suffer and to die on our behalf. We ask, Lord, that as we continue to make our way through Holy Week, as we continue to journey with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to the cross, that his example will be one that is instilled in us. Continue to shape us and to mold us to be a people of self-giving love, a people who understand that you have called us to follow our Lord and our King. But the Lord and the King that we follow is none other but the crucified Lord and King. And it is through his death and the example of his death that we learn who you are, that we understand that at the very center of our universe, the very center of our world, is a God who loves us so much that he would send his only begotten Son so that we might have abundant life. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.